Yuma, Perek Ches, Mishnah Vav, 8-6. And we continue to discuss the halachas of people who are ill and their treatment because of potential death, safek pikuach nefesh. Mi sha'achso bulmos. If a person is seized by, meaning afflicted by, this disease referred to as bulmos, this is etymologically related to the word bulimia, but it's not bulimia per se. It is someone who is essentially starving to death. Bulmos from the two Latin words baus, which is like an ox, and limus, which is ravenous, hungry. So they're absolutely starving. So then the sign of this is that they've lost their vision. They're so suffering from privation, they can't even see anymore. So the halacha is machilin oso afilu dvarm tameim ad she'iru einov. We will feed him whatever we can find, even if that food is not kosher, any day of the week, even Yom Kippur or Yes Yom Kippur, until his eyesight returns. Until the eyesight returns, we're concerned he's at risk of death, potentially, from starvation, and therefore or malnutrition, and therefore we feed him whatever we have. Just an interesting side point, really. The din is that we would feed him whatever is the least usher food. So the Rambam gives an example, which I think is just worth taking note of. He says, if you had, for example, nevela, a dead dog, you know, whatever, bacon to feed him, and you had tevel, just fruit from Eretz Yisrael that hadn't been tied properly, like you find in shops throughout the country of Israel. So definitely give him the bacon over the untied fruit, the tevel, because a nevela is a much less severe penalty, which is just malchus, as opposed to tevel, untied food, which has a trum inside of it, etc., and which is a penalty of misa b'dei shemaim. So when people keep kosher, it's even more important that you eat tithe produce in Eretz Yisrael than eating bacon. Okay, next case is misha nashcho kelev shota. If one has been bitten by a rabid dog, that means the dog has rabies. Literally, kelev shota means a crazy dog, but the simanim are given. It's a rabid dog. Ein machilin oso mechatzer kavid shelo. You may not treat him by feeding him the lobe of the dog's liver. It was a common medical treatment, or at least it's a common treatment, that they would feed this lobe of the liver, maybe the caudate lobe, but like a finger protrusion out of the dog's liver, to a person who was bitten by the rabid dog in hopes of staving off the rabies. The problem is that this was not a medically confirmed treatment. It just was like a folk treatment. The way the Rambam describes it, it was by Torah Segula. It worked by, I'll call it magic for lack of a better term right now, whatever Torah Segula is, as opposed to Derech HaTeva, through natural means. And the halacha is that, it's a machlokas here, but the Tanakhama holds that one may not break halacha, for example, feeding a person not kosher food, a dog's liver, in an attempt to save him, if the mechanism by which he'd be saved is not derech hateva, it's not confirmed, it's just like a folk wisdom. It works based on some sort of like segula, some kind of magical remedy. So that's important. We don't clutch at straws. We don't do anything possible to save a person's life when that anything is actually not based in some rational approach. We wouldn't do that, even if it means even the person is in the selfing nefashos, because they don't break the Torah for something which has no rationale. However, Reb Masya ben Charash, he disagrees. Reb Masya ben Charash is mater. He says that he holds that the feeding of this caudate lobe of the liver of the dog that had rabies to the victim of the bite is a confirmed remedy, or perhaps according to Rambam, even though it is functioning through segula, some sort of magical treatment, but if it works, it works, and that will be enough to allow a person, even if it maybe works, I should say, that will be enough to clutch at straws and attempt to save this person through this sort of supernatural remedy. Halacha is like the Tanakhama. Halacha is that we wouldn't break halacha for someone which has no rational basis, just because we're panicked. I want to save this person's life. My second editorial comment of the day, even in the 21st century, we do not have a cure for rabies. So if a person is bitten by an animal which may have been carrying rabies, a bat, a dog, scratched by a cat, you need to consult with a doctor. If there's a concern that there's rabies in the area, you have to get treated immediately with those preventative shots, because if, God forbid, the signs of rabies do emerge, it's too late. There's simply no way to save a person once the rabies has taken hold. So be careful of that, God forbid. The Mishnah continues on, Va'od Amr Masi ben Charash. He said one more thing, Ha'choshesh begrono. If a person, now literally this means he's bothered by his throat, that's just the literal translation, and there are other girsos, like Choshesh b'shinav, his teeth are bothering him, literally, is the Bartanura's girsa, others have Choshesh b'piv, in his mouth. In all these different girsos, the thought here, there's no machlokas, what's happening. What's happening is a person started by having some sort of ailment which is affecting his gums. His gums start to decay and recede, and then the problems move further into his mouth, to his tongue, and then to the back of his throat. So this is some kind of systemic infection, let's say, or other severe situation. And whenever we have some sort of systemic illness, as opposed to some sort of external, a lesion or something, but some sort of systemic illness that would require, for example, today in 21st century, the kind of thing that they would need antibiotics or equivalent. So then that intervention must be done immediately, even on Shabbos, even if it involves doing an Isser D'Oraisa. And the Mishnah here says that matilin lo sam betoch pib b'Shabbos. We put the medicine in his mouth on Shabbos. On Shabbos meaning not just on Yom Kippur, which it went without saying, but Shabbos is more severe because it's not just about putting medicine in the mouth. To take medicine on Shabbos is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, lest the person come to do an Isser D'Oraisa of shchikas samamanim, to grind up the spices to prepare the medicine. And that would be of course, not the issue here, and is it there a button when there's a situation of sekanas nefashos. The point here is, even if it means that one has to do the isodoraisa proper, he has to grind up those spices, or he has to go, pick the herbs from the garden, which would involve an isodoraisa, still one may do that because of the potential suffix nefashos. It's permitted. The reason why, therefore, he picks Shabbos as opposed to Yom Kippur is because Shabbos is more severe in terms of the malacha angle. The penalty for being machal Shabbos in terms of doing malacha is more severe than on Yom Kippur. Hence, he focuses on Shabbos, where we have karis and for malacha on Shabbos. The reason why is because mipneishu safik nefashos, because it is a case of sfeik nefashos that a person may be at risk of dying. V'chol sfeik nefashos doches a Shabbos. The Mishnah ends by saying, any scenario you have even a suffix, a doubt, a potential that a person could be at risk for death, so then that pushes off Shabbos and we do whatever we have to do. We treat it as if it's just a regular weekday. To the extent that we can minimize Chilul Shabbos, so then fine, but we wouldn't even do anything that would delay the treatment of this person, even if it means reducing the Chilul Shabbos components. We got to treat him as efficiently and effectively as possible. The fact that the Mishnah said v'chol sfeik nefashos doches haShabbos, any scenario where there's a potential for loss of life, at risk for life, then we push off Shabbos, seems redundant. And this general v'chol, always when it says and all, it comes to add something. The point here that the Mishnah is adding is a big chiddush. What it's adding is that in a scenario where the person is not at risk this Shabbos, nothing's going to happen this Shabbos, because let's say the disease hasn't spread or whatever, the infection hasn't spread, you might have thought, well, let's wait and hold off treatment until Motzi Shabbos so that we can, not do this Chil Shabbos, and we'll treat him afterwards. Wrong, says the Mishnah. Even if the illness will only take root later on, or the risk is only, next Shabbos, so to speak, this Shabbos already, you begin as soon as possible with the treatment, and you continue on through Shabbos. This is why, if you've ever been on a regimen of antibiotics, let's say, you don't skip taking Shabbos in the middle. You take it the way through and so on and so forth. So the point of the Mishnah here is that we act immediately, even if there's no risk on this particular Shabbos. We still machal this Shabbos or docha this Shabbos for the sake of the person's long-term well-being, all based on the principle of v'chai behem, that a person has to asher yaso samha adam v'chai behem, a person should do the mitzvahs in order to live, and therefore any scenario other than if it means contravening the gimel chomeros, so three big averas of Shvichas Damim, Gilirayas, and Vodazara, and we push them off in order to save a life.